Welcome to the Dirty Heifers Podcast, soap making, small business, and so much more. Let's get dirty. Welcome back to the Dirty Heifers Podcast, the show where soap, small business, and a little sass collide. I'm Margaret from Warm and Fuzzy Soapery, and as always, I am here with my favorite co-hosts, Jesse and Shauna. Today's episode is a special one. Not just because it's our 20th episode, can you believe that?
Woo-hoo!
But because we're talking about something a little heavier, and honestly, something a lot of people avoid, the lonely, hidden side of being a small business owner. We're getting real about the weight that we carry, the isolation, the decision fatigue, the never-ending to-do lists, and that nagging feeling that no matter how hard you're working, it's never enough. If you've ever felt like you're behind while watching someone else's highlight reel, or if you've ever wondered if this path you're walking is worth it, this one's for you. But before we dive into the deep end, it's time for a little levity with our weekly tradition, the Word of the Week. And I think you're going to like this one. It's not an easy one, like last week's. I mean, like next week's.
We recorded out of order for anybody who's confused now.
We do record out of order when we have a guest. So next week, we will push right now, we have a guest, Jessica from Mississippi Candle Company. She's coming to talk about selling on TikTok Shop. That will be next week's episode. But for now...
What in the thunder is that?
All right, I'm going to spell it for the listeners who are not on YouTube.
Is that legit a word?
Yes. All right. Shush, I'm spelling. S-I-S-Y-P-H-E-A-N.
Sissy Fiend.
That's a good attempt.
It's close. It's very, very close. It's Sisyphean. So close.
Sissy Fiend.
What do you think that might mean? Would you like to take a guess and then I'll put it in a sentence or?
I've already got it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no.
You know,
Gertrude
Fiend
Loins.
Is like, I'm sitting there thinking Fiend, that's something you're just like all about. You are all about some sissy men. You have got a thing for, you got a sissy man fetish.
It's not a thing, it's fiend.
Sissy fiend. You got a sissy man fetish. You are all about a sissy man.
All right. No. So.
I'm just imagining, you know, the man bun. With a Starbucks coffee.
Like a metrosexual kind of guy.
Yeah. You know, you all
Well,
about
I don't know about you. You're talking about handlebar. Are you adding a handlebar mustache to a metrosexual guy?
I don't think
that mixes.
That don't make no sense.
That's like
Heifer,
a...
please.
Heifer, please.
All right. So here's the sentence. Trying to keep up with social media as a small business owner can feel like a Sisyphean task. The algorithm never sleeps, and neither do we.
Well, it just confirms my redneck definition, because there's lots
How?
Of sissy men on social media.
Oh, my gosh.
They all over it.
But there's also lots of manly men on social media. I mean, have you seen the axe-chopping guy, like the wood guy?
Oh, BT.
He's a little Sisyphean. Given that sentence, what do you think that Sisyphean means? Sisyphean.
I stand by my redneck definition.
Oh my gosh.
You got a fetish for sissy men.
You can't even suss it out from the sentence gives it away.
Using the content, honey, little girl.
Contextual food.
Ooh.
Mini Heifer, please.
Mini girl. Put your finger on the words, follow along, cover the word Sisyphean with your hand, with your finger, read the words around it, and think about what it might mean. Put a picture in your mind if you have to, okay? Trying to keep up with social media as a small business owner can feel like a Sisyphean task. The algorithm never sleeps, and neither do we.
Okay, so it's never ending.
Never ending. Yeah, it's the endless, requiring endless effort with no actual result. Based on the Greek myth of Sisyphus, doomed to roll a boulder uphill forever. And that goes right into our task of our talk of being a small business owner, and that can feel like rolling a boulder uphill forever.
Constantly.
So given the Greek definite, Latin definition, whatever, of sisyphine, it's an oxymoron. It's indeed not a sissy man.
No. Not if where it came from, rolling a boulder uphill, that's not a sissy man. So do
Sisyphus
you have a redneck word of the week?
I do have redneck word of the week.
That she's got that grin. We are in trouble. Is this going to be appropriate?
It is. All of my... me be inappropriate?
Inappropriate, no. 12-year-old boy humor, yes.
Do we all have it? Yes. Anyway.
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Well, I just keep it inside, but I'll giggle.
You keep it inside of the podcast.
Oh, well, yeah.
In the chat, you know.
So today's redneck word of the week is pertinir.
Mm-hmm. Pertinir. I can't tell you because I know what it is.
She knows
pertinir.
Pertinir.
If you'd watched her brother, where art thou? You'd know what this means.
Anyway. I put a pertinir. Pertinir. That's my guess.
That was amazing.
It was.
It's not partnir, it's pert. And it is PERT.
We got all your words there. You're showing us all your words.
Well, don't look at them, Heifer.
Heifer, please.
P-E-R-T-N-E-A-R. Pert near.
Okay.
Like pert like plus that. Shampoo.
Pert yeah, near. Like shampoo.
I was going to say pert and near. So you put the pert on to near. Wash your hair, and then you put the nair on to get rid of it all.
Oh,
you
Jesus
clean it before
it.
You remove it.
Oh, Jesus, fix it. Heifer,
use it
please.
In a
give me in a sentence.
Near.
Use it in a sentence. Give me some contextual clues.
Want me to make sense for you?
We'll let Sean do the sentence.
Because a lot of Jesse's sentences wind up with, like, somebody in a
tree. Oh, there's southernisms in it.
Or someone in a tree. Or someone's about to get spanked.
You forgot what the word was.
We'll all let right. Shauna do this one. It's a group effort.
All right. Sometimes with all the tasks that come with being a small business owner, it can feel pert near hopeless.
Oh, like, I don't know.
like
impossible, like. Darn,
let's break it down.
Near? Like close.
It's
really, really.
Think pretty near.
Oh, okay. Pert near, pretty near.
So,
just
I was
about.
Gonna say darn close.
Yeah, so, that's a good one. Darn close.
It can feel just about hopeless. Yeah.
Just about hopeless. All right, so. Hopefully,
pert near impossible.
The topic that we talk about today doesn't have people feeling hopeless, because if you're owning a business, it shouldn't feel hopeless, right? But one of the dark sides of owning a business. Now, I feel a little bit less than most people who have their own business, because I do have my husband that works with me. Yeah. So almost everything that we do together. So we have a different set of challenges, but if you're, you know, owning a small business or working, there's a lot of isolation. There's a lot of loneliness, you know, because you're in your house, you're by yourself, or you're in a warehouse, or you're, you know, at your shop by yourself on your own. So, and even if you're surrounded by people, you're the one making all of the decisions. All right. of the business decisions fall solely on you. And there's a huge mental weight of always having to know what to do. Right.
Right.
So, and I don't have that as much, but I have to balance although I say all of the business decisions are equal, they really all do fall on me. And a lot of times if I have a decision to make, he'll say, well, you know, it's your business. What do you want to do? And I want your opinion, you know, things like that. So it mm-hmm. really is weighty.
Yeah.
Have you guys noticed that?
Yes. So Jesse doesn't have anyone to fall back on. I do. I'm also like, you know, equal business partner with my husband. And he does some of the other stuff. But yeah, there's mm-hmm. a lot. Most of the decisions do end up falling on me. And he will give me opinions on things. Mm-hmm. He's a very opinionated person. but it's very hard to get opinions sometimes when he doesn't understand the entire process and everything that goes into it.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The science behind the making.
Like everything, like all the steps that have to occur and all the things that can go wrong or what, you know, the things you have to do during, he doesn't understand it all because he doesn't make all the stuff.
Right.
And also he doesn't really consume some of the things that I make, like room sprays or, you know, lotion. He doesn't really, he uses it sometimes, mm-hmm. but not, right. but he's not like really in tune to the market like we are. So,
yeah.
So you would say he's not a sissy fiend.
He is not a sissy fiend.
Y'all know I'm going to try to sneak it in, but I get all that. I mean, my husband helps as much as he can, but he works mm-hmm. all the time with his job. And so, you know, 99.9% of everything falls on me.
Right.
And as a business owner doing it mostly, I mean, Mama Lather, she comes and she helps, and she's worked years and years and years in retail. So she does have some insights on things to a degree because, I mean, she's been out of it for a while and the world's changed since she's retired.
And you're mostly online,
you know,
which is a totally different
animal. And I'm online, which is totally different animal. It gets plumb disheartening sometimes. And that's, you know, that's where you got to have a good crew around you. Like mm-hmm. these two heifers right here. They can attest that there's been several times that I've had to text them, like, what do you think about this? Just mm-hmm. trying to get, mm-hmm. you know, trying to fill the room, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to get a feel of outside opinion, what they would think. And I've got some customers that I text as well sometimes, be like, hey, what would you think of offer this? Mm-hmm. You know, actual people that will give me a legit, honest answer, not just...
Yeah, that's hard.
It's very hard to get
stuff. But it's a lot trying to, yeah, I don't like yes men. I don't,
exactly.
That's why I've got y'all. I don't yes men. I want you mm-hmm. I want you to give me the hard truth.
Right.
And y'all have hit me with some hard truths before. And
you mean
same
like
way.
some farm fresh feedback?
Some farm fresh feedback. But it can be incredibly, it's lonely. I mean, it is, you know. Most of the time I'm here, I'm by myself right now in this shop.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is going to sound weird, okay? But I listen to our podcast a lot when I'm here working because I've got y'all here with me.
Aw.
Does it? Aw. But I do. It's not just because I want to hear myself talk. It's because I've got y'all in the room with me.
Right. I find that when I'm editing the podcast, I get like little, you know, bursts of, oh, that was so funny.
Little bursts of serotonin.
Yes, a little burst of serotonin every time I'm, you know, oh, here's a good clip or whatever. And then when I listen to it later, So I understand. We did get that email that said that, you know, the one person, said, you know, when she's soaping, she likes to listen to us because, you know, we're talking soap and stuff like that.
Yeah, and she's felt lonely in the past, which is what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's incredibly lonely.
It's a little bit different for me because when I'm at work, I'm surrounded by people who are clamoring to not just be near me, but be on me. And they're like, Mrs. Connor, I love you. You know, and it's just, you know, it gets a little bit overwhelming. So coming
rubbing
to
their
the soaping business afterwards is a reprieve. So the quiet and the low, but if this was my only thing and I was doing this all the time, I can certainly see that the by yourself, I'd have to have the background noise, the TV, the podcasts, all that kind of stuff just to keep me engaged. There's also this decision fatigue.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
A million decisions every single day. It drains your creativity. It takes the joy from your craft. You know, like, which color do I use? How much, you know, that's one of the things that I leave a lot of the math up to John. Just because I'm doing a million things, like, and I want it to be done, whatever. And I'll say, you know, just something simple, like, how much colorant am I supposed to use in this? And the like, it's a thing, you know. Like, I have to divide the batch. I'm doing six layers. Each layer is going to get how much? Like, just all day long. And that's simple. That's formulas, and there's a definite for that, right? I'm using this many pounds of oils equals this many teaspoons or tablespoons of colorant. And so that's an easy decision, even though you're doing the math. But there's other ones like, do I get my fragrance from this company or this company? Uh-huh. Do I send out an email for this? Do I not send it out? Should I write a blog today? There's just so many decisions all day long. It's definitely draining.
Yeah.
And I can say that it is so
draining.
I have, you know, like I said, my husband, he's actually really good with a lot of certain things, but he doesn't understand the process. So I'll go to him and be like, hey, what should we name this fragrance? Because I want to change the name, right? So he's good to help me pick out the name. And then I'll be like, what color scheme should I use? Every once in a while, so like if I can't bring it in, I just want a different idea. I'm like, just give me a color scheme for this. Mm-hmm. And he'll come up with like some color scheme for me to use. And I'm like, cool, thanks, bye.
See, I can't ask Farrell any of that kind of stuff because he looks at me like, I don't know.
Well, I can't ask
because it's just not his kind of thing
to name anything or smell anything because he can't smell.
He can't smell.
Oh no!
Right.
If I say, hey, let's name this fragrance, he'll be like, all right, so what does it smell like? And then I'll tell him, and he'll go, well, I don't know what that smells like. So. You're like, oh, this smells like fudge. He doesn't know what fudge smells like either. So how are you going to use the...
Hey, you know what? But this one, that's what, one of the reasons why I love the AI stuff now. Yeah. Because I can say, hey, I want this kind of a feel. I want it to feel masculine or not masculine. I want it to be sophisticated. Yep. I want it to be a simple name that conveys this fragrance for me. And it gives me ideas. And I'm like, well, let's go a little slightly different direction. And I use AI to help me name things now.
Well, you know, it's funny, and I know you girls know that I do this, but and July knows that I do this as well. But when I, first of all, I rely heavily on AI for my product descriptions, right?
Start doing that.
You know, I'll even do like, hey, these are the fragrance notes. Mm-hmm. What can you come up with for that? Things like that. But I don't like to say that I'm talking to AI. Because it just feels cold and impersonal. So I call ChatGPT, I call him Chad. And Chad is my friend. And I get some, you know, advice from Chad. And some, hey, can you tell me about
Chad's
this,
awesome.
Chad is awesome. So it's one awesome. Way of making me feel like I'm less alone in my decision making. So I have Chad helping me.
It's like that video you sent me.
Exactly.
Let me tell you about my best friend. There was that video where it's like the thing's blurred out, but there's another person there with you.
But yeah, Chad's awesome. I mean, he's helped me out with naming, like, when I get my boxes in, Possum Blossom is renamed and Ripped is renamed. Oh. Chad helped me rename both of those.
Really?
And my limited edition soap, the coconut mahogany, Chad helped me out with the name on it and the description.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chad's great.
So that's definitely a great tip for easing the weight of all of the decision fatigue, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I just can't think of a name right now. Let me just go on ChatGPT, mm-hmm. or let me go on Grok or whatever AI tool that you're out there using, and just with a prompt and the better the prompts. I say again as if I said this already, which I didn't. the better the prompt that you give to any kind of yep. AI system, the better the output's going to be. So, you know, if you're just saying, hey, can you name this soap? You're not going to get that great of output. But if you say, hey, this soap looks like this, and this soap, this is the fragrance scent. Mm-hmm. called the fragrance notes, and this is the and this is the feel that I want to convey, and this is, you know, like, it'll be, and mm-hmm. give me 10 names, and then you make your, you know, decision right. from there.
But it's like bouncing ideas off of a very creative friend, but you don't have to but you don't have to use exactly what you get back either, right? So we talk about, like,
no, you don't.
Like, oh. Yeah. You used AI for that. And anytime I'm using AI to, like, for doing a product description, I'm not using it word for word. I'm trying to make it sound like, you know, it sounds good.
Like,
but
you said it.
I do. Well, a lot of the times to avoid it sounding like AI is I'll say, like, you know, give me five points to say, you mm-hmm. know, and then, you know, it'll give me, like, almost like an outline. Mm-hmm. So if I can look at an outline, if I can look at just the title or just one sentence, I can say, okay, and I can keep talking about that because I can talk forever.
Right.
For somebody who won't go talk to people, she can talk you to death.
I can, especially if you're on a camera, because if I'm on a camera, I can talk to a camera all day long. I find that I can ramble all day long because, as a teacher, the longer I talk, the less that they talk. No, I'm just kidding.
You're not kidding. Anyway.
I'm not really kidding. So what about, I'm just thinking about the things like from Lonely Business Makers. What about the comparison trap? Comparing.
Oh, yeah.
So your social, I said that before in the intro, like your social media reels versus mm-hmm. you know, people's highlights in there. You know, you look at Instagram and everything is perfect and everything is beautiful, and
right.
then you turn around in your shop and it looks like, you know.
Yeah, like mine.
Like a bomb exploded in your shop, you know.
Oh, yeah. I've said this to people all the time.
This part's,
like,
clean. This part's not.
I can't go live because my kitchen's a mess. And they're like, oh, we just clean off a certain area and the mess is all on the other side of the kitchen. Like, uh-huh. I think that we just all have to remember that social media is a projection of what we want people to see. And that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So when you're looking around at your messy shop and you're looking on the camera and you're seeing what everybody else is doing, you're going, my goodness, that they're so with it. They're so together. They're not with it. They're not together. They're just as messed up as you are. When I do a live and I'm doing, like, sometimes I'll do a live where I'm making soap and then I'll go over and, like, wrap soap in the other area. And again, this is all in my house. So I make soap in my kitchen, or what used to be my kitchen. It's now my soap area. And then I walk through the actual kitchen to the dining room area where I wrap my soap. So when I'm doing that, I don't want you to see the mess in my kitchen. So for when I'm making the soap, the camera's like this. And then when I'm walking to the other area, it's this close. And all you're seeing is my face. You're not seeing, mm-hmm. you know, all the mess behind me. And then I set it up in the next area. It's definitely, you can't compare yourself to other people.
That's kind of like, here a while back, I posted a video on TikTok where it was the one where the guy was bashing Mississippi. And, you know, and I stitched it. And, you know, I was in my house. And for anybody who's listening, I'm now in a shop. I used to make soap in my house in my laundry room or my utility room. And yeah, it's not a soap shop in my utility room anymore. It's a utility room. Uh-huh. And it's a catch-all. It catches everything. it catches everything. That there's not a clean spot on that countertop. It's probably in worse shape now than it was when I made soap in there. Mm-hmm. So I'm in there making the video, and I'm positioning the camera like perfect to where it's not catching the mess.
Right.
And then I go to my dining room, and I position just right to where like the couch is covering the table, because there's stuff on the dining room table. Even though I'm not wrapping soap there anymore, even though I'm not not wrapping soap, cutting soap there anymore, it's a catch-all. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, the ice cream makers are still sitting on my table. They're clean, but they're still sitting there.
Right.
You know, it's just all in, well, everybody's a mess. I don't care who they are. Everybody's a mess. Mm-hmm. We all have messes.
How do you combat,
we all live in our houses.
How do you combat the mental spiral of like, looking at your mess and seeing how other people on social media are just so, how do you get past that? Except for, I mean, it's different because I'm thinking of like the maker who's at home and isn't putting themselves on camera, right? Mm. So I'm just making soap and I don't want to put myself on camera, but I'm looking at all these other people and they're just so with it. So maybe I'm at home and I don't realize that these people are just showing their best sides because I'm not a content creator. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand that I'm blocking out all of the mess and that they're probably blocking out all of the mess as well. Mm-hmm. How do you think someone like that, what's a good tip to give them to get out of their headspace?
Everybody's a mess. Just roll with it.
Yeah.
Everybody's
presenting their best side, and that's like a universal truth on social media is that most of the time people are presenting either their best side or a completely made up false screen.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I blame all these OCD people for this. There's a few people that I follow on social media, and their house is always perfect. Like they pick up after themselves just perfectly, and everything's just so perfectly clean, like all the time. Like at any given moment, even though they've got dogs and cats in their house, you could eat off their floor and you would be fine. I blame them. It's their fault.
Those people are feeling far
I'm going to join you on that. I'm going to join you on blaming them. It's their fault.
Yeah, it's their fault. Because they're normal. I'm sorry.
No. No, it's wait. I measured today. My son turned 18 last Wednesday, and we have a spot in my garage where we measure everybody's height. And yes, in the beginning, Ferguson was even measured in the garage. We don't move him into the spot to measure his height anymore because he is taller than the ceiling. But so I measured.
Now Ferguson is a lemon tree.
Oh,
for
right.
anybody
yes.
that does not know.
Thank
Ferguson
you. I didn't know who Ferguson was either.
Oh, that's true. Right. So Ferguson is a lemon tree that my daughter went to Italy on a school trip, and she brought back a lemon, and we took the seeds and we planted them and we grew a lemon tree that I now, since then, have been using as a Christmas tree every year. And then, because he has
to
come in for the winter, we can't leave him outside because this is not the right, you know, zone for him to be growing in. He'd freeze and die. So we bring him in for the winter, and I was like, well, if I have a tree in here, I'm not going to go buy a Christmas tree. And so we were measuring him anyway. Anyway, this is a way big squirrel. So I was measuring AJ, and I got the measuring tape today to see how tall he was. He's 6'2", as of now, almost 6'2". But then I'm walking back to the kitchen. I start to put the measuring tape, just put it on the kitchen counter and walk away. I'm like, what am I doing? That's going to sit on the counter for like 6 days if I put it there. Let me go put it back where I took it from so that the next time I'm looking for it,
right.
I'll know where it is. But that's a conscious effort that you have to make. And I don't make that all the time. And
I don't
do that all the time either.
Do you guys ever have this issue? I have this in the kitchen sometimes where like I clean off the counter so I can start something and I clean up the space. And then my husband walks in and sits something in that clean space because there's a clean space.
Oh,
on the
my
counter.
Gosh.
Like, no.
I might kill you. Slow exactly. and bloody and medieval.
I just give him a look. I'm like, you move that right now.
I feel like a cluttered counter, it just makes my whole house look like a wreck. And my counters are always cluttered. I just don't have
Mount
any
Arctic.
Place to put my things.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I am, so now that we are building and I will be moving in less than a year, I am starting to clear stuff out. I'm starting to like donate things. I'm starting to throw, like, I look at something and be like, this has been sitting around forever. I'm just throwing it away. Like, it feels so good too.
Now, what about the guilt of rest? Okay, so here's what I mean.
We literally just talked about this.
I'm not, my take is, I don't really feel isolated because, again, I have John. But I feel like if I sit down and I rest, that equals laziness. I'm lazy. I'm not working. If I'm sitting down on the couch and I'm not actively on my laptop, either writing descriptions or working on some kind of a video idea or writing an email, thinking about a blog, like doing something online work related, then I feel like I'm not being productive and I should be being productive and I'm just being so lazy right now. How is my business ever going to be successful?
We literally just talked about this because currently I am on vacation from work. And I had all these plans about all the stuff that I was going to get done. And I literally just said to these two heifers here, I probably should have been working on videos this whole time. And I haven't done hardly anything because I've been just like relaxing, listening to audiobooks. And I feel guilty about it. But at the same time, I know that I need that because typically I am like, go. I'm very type A and I'm usually very go. And I'm having to teach myself how to just sit and be. And it's hard. It really is. Yeah. And my husband's like, why are you always playing this stupid game? It's a stupid mindless game. It is literally one of these stupid mindless match games. Okay. But I listen to my audiobook and I play a match game because it doesn't require any brain power, right? And that's like kind of my wind down thing.
Yeah. You have to try and avoid the guilt of not creating, not posting, not planning. I'm not producing. I'm not making something right now. So I should be planning something right now. And if I'm not planning something, then I need to be editing a video or I have to be doing all the time. There is, and I don't know about you guys, but I put my phone on Do Not Disturb when we're filming. And then I put it on Do Not Disturb because I take a bath every night, I come down from my bath and I sit with my husband and I put my phone on Do Not Disturb. And occasionally I'll pick it up if I like see that it, you know, it's going off like crazy. But
see that we've got
like 50 text messages in the chat.
I'll pick it up and it'll be like, oh my goodness.
That's what's going on.
There's 67 messages I didn't read yet. but if I do not put it on Do Not Disturb, and I won't wind down. I will pick it up. Oh, I see. Oh, Shona sent the text, and then I'll go. Okay, my phone is in my hand, so now I need to check my social media, reply to that comment. It's constant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard.
Yeah,
to
it's,
get out
it's
of
constant.
That. I think everybody has to consciously be aware of the fact that you not only are doing yourself a disservice, but you're doing your business a disservice if you don't give yourself a break, because you are not going to be at your best if you don't take those breaks.
You'll burn out.
That's easy to be told. It is not easy to absorb and practice.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you ladies this, because I'm in a different situation than y'all were in. Mm-hmm. Right now, y'all are still living in the middle of your business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get that separation, once your business is no longer around you all the time, that separation comes easier. Now, I do still take my laptop and my other phone with me home, and I will work on content at home. I will work on website updates at home, but it's not like I have work surrounding me.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's not staring you in the eye.
Yeah, because, I mean, even though my shop is just a short drive from me, and I really, if I decided I wanted to go make soap at 7 o'clock in the evening, I could get in my car and drive here and do it if I was prepped and ready to go. Mm-hmm. But I had that separation where I'm like, no, this is family time. This is home time.
Right.
I'm going to spend, because my kids are about grown. I'm going to spend time with my kids and my husband right now. The business can wait till in the morning.
Right.
That becomes easier once you get that separation.
Well, I think also part of the struggle for Margaret and I is that during the day we have different jobs.
Right.
So Yeah. A lot of what we do for the business happens on nights and weekends.
Yes.
And that even cuts into
the personal time a lot more. And I think that for a lot of small business owners are in the same situation that we are.
Right.
You know, I make soap, but it's not my primary job.
And you used to be in that situation, Jesse. Like, you had a job.
Yeah.
And then you were in soap nights and weekends, so.
Yeah.
How about the thought about quitting? Have you ever considered it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And what kept you going?
You guys? To be honest, that and stubbornness.
You guys, stubbornness and the fear of disappointing my family.
Yeah,
always fear of disappointing.
Fear of disappointing my loved ones.
I think also for me, and you know, this is where I support, as we said before, support systems are so important. Like, you've got to find your group, but also my husband, he's part of the business. He's not as like entrenched in it as I am, but he believes in this business and he can see where it's going to go. Like, I'm stuck in the here and now. He can see where it's going to be in like 10 years from now. And that helps to keep me going. I think seeing where you can go and dreaming, like holding on to your dream, might help too, you know? And you're going to Who hasn't had some time in their life where they feel like just quitting whatever they're doing and they're never going to get where they want to be? I had a time in my life where I never thought I was actually going to make it to become a doctor. And now here I'm a doctor, right? So, you know, and that actually took a friend kicking me in the rear end and getting me in gear.
So you are very, very influenced by the people around you.
I don't think I'm very influenced. Like, I think having people support you and seeing you differently than you see yourself
is important.
And seeing it, I think that's it's important, especially for those of us with freaking imposter syndrome who think, what am I doing here? Nobody wants to buy my stuff. Nobody wants, you know, when it's very important to have someone say, like, no, we love your stuff. No, you can do this. This is where we're going. Yeah. I think just the support system is big.
What would success look like if it wasn't just financial?
That's a good question.
I know.
I think being a household name would be successful.
I was just going to say, you know, just having your business name known is success. And to me, success, I'll tell you what success looks like to me. Success looks like when my kids are grown, and even if they don't want to work the business, knowing that they have that they could fall back on. That's success.
Okay.
You know, if my husband gets to the point to where he doesn't want to work in the logging woods every day and wants to come home and work something that's a little easier on his body, he can do that. You know, being able to help people out in my community if they want to come work with me, to me, that is success. Yes, there's a financial part of it, but there's financial to anything, anything and everything. But to me, that is success. Just being able to help people is success.
Right. Okay.
And I agree with that.
What about you, Shauna?
I agree that making a difference, for one, number one, so being a household name, but not just that, being a household name that's associated with good product. That's huge for me. Like, I definitely want to be associated with good product, but I also agree that being able to give back to the community or to other people, that's huge. And we've all done things like that. And you know, you all know that I am we are now a charity partner with someone, making a difference.
Exactly.
I would love to be able to hire people and give them a job that, just like we've talked about before, we've talked about with other people, where it feels like a family.
Right.
They feel like, you know,
exactly,
they can rely on you. It's a great job. They love coming to work. That would be such a huge thing for me. I would feel so good about that.
I agree there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel
100%.
Like, I feel like, and I know this is going to sound corny, and I'm not usually emotional or corny or anything like that.
Well, you have been corny on occasion.
But I mean, when I say corny in this situation, I mean, it's like, in my situation, I feel like success to me is being able to run the business with my husband, because it's something that we both enjoy doing. Although, like, he'll tell me that this is your business. Soap is not my passion. But it's something that we do together.
Right.
And that we both understand. And he's, while he's not as passionate about it as I am, he's passionate about making a business run. So it's together time, family time that, I don't know, it's just more time spent together, more quality time spent together.
That's not corny at
all.
That's
kind of dorky.
I think that's not corny at all. I think that's great. Like, a lot of couples do not spend time together and they don't work well together. And I think that's amazing.
I'll have to say we work very well together, which we've done a lot of big projects around the house and stuff. And every time we finish a project, he goes, "That was fantastic." And I say, like, what are you talking about? And he'll say, like, "We did all of this without a single argument, without, you know, whatever," because we both have come from those spaces where you can't work.
We going to argue about it, but we proud of it when we get done.
Yeah.
I can tell you. So
it's very rare that we'll argue about things.
There is a universal truth in the RVing world that couples were going to bicker during trying to park that freaking RV when you're backing up. Like, that is, you know, the husband's going to be in there backing the thing up and the wife's going to be back there trying to you know, tell you how to get in there, and you're going to start arguing at some point. And if we ever do, like, when we park in our storage unit and we get in there quickly and we don't yell and argue to each other, we're like, high five. when we went to Fort Wilderness at Disney World and parked once, and we were struggling because, number one, those parking spots are tight to get into. And number two, it was right around Christmas time, so everybody has their Christmas decorations up. And they were in the way, and we finally got it parked, and I looked at the people next door, and I was like, "You guys enjoy the show?" They're like, "We didn't hear any screaming or cussing, so you guys are pretty good."
Yeah.
That's funny. That's funny.
Because any time you're backing up any kind of trailer, there's going to be some words. Just my son trying to help me back up to a trailer to hitch trailer up. Nine times out of ten, I end up telling him, "Just go inside." Just go inside. Because I've showed him that.
A trailer or helped someone.
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
It can be.
Especially when your son that, you know, you've taught him how the hand signals. He won't use them.
It is hard. It is hard to tell the person what to do if you haven't done it a whole lot, though. That's why we've gotten better over the years.
I've
learned how to tell him much better and when to start turning and everything. Completely unrelated to any of this, Jesse, you keep freezing on my screen like you have all night, and some of the facial expressions it freezes on are absolutely hysterical. You make so many faces, and it freezes on them, and I have been enjoying this all night long.
That's funny. All right. So
glad to be of service.
What about support systems? Like, what can you do when you're a business owner and you're by yourself and you're there all day long? Like, what do you think would be a good? I mean, obviously, I work with John. Right. So, one of your things is you said that having us.
Yeah, listening to podcasts.
That's a support system. I think, like, finding people who get it. Finding people who are in the same situation as you, like, oh my goodness.
And that's hard to find. I mean, it is hard to find, and I feel, like, so blessed that this group came together.
Right? It's so odd, because I don't think, the way that we each found each other on TikTok, I don't know that I could do that again.
No.
Right? I don't know that I would. Like, it's just not, it can't be as organic as just reaching out and being like, "Hey, how you doing?" And next thing you know, like, let's go
to chat
together,
making each other laugh so hard we're peeing.
Let's go share a bedroom
at a conference. And oh, by the way, we're bringing the third in. You didn't know about it. Anyway.
Yeah, that you had no clue about.
Yeah.
You just thought it was just going to be you and Shauna.
When we went to the Handcrafted Soap and Cosmetic Guild Conference in 2024, Margaret had no idea that Jesse and I were planning for like 6 months to sneak Jesse into the conference and surprise Margaret. And
on her birthday.
Yes, that was fun.
And it was hysterical, and we slipped up so many times, and you still did not catch on to it. Like, she would say something in the group chat. She would send something in the group chat, and I, like, go to the personal chat, like, red alert, red alert!
Abort, 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 abort!
Yeah, you guys had me really well. And part of that is that because I leave my phone on Do Not Disturb for so long during the day, and I get 67 messages, and I read them, like, that's how I feel like there's a lot of times I'll feel like, what are they even talking about?
Yeah, I miss a lot.
What is going on here? I don't even know. So, like, I miss a lot. So that it's very easy to
Anyway, there was so a lot of different steps went into that process.
It was, yeah.
Lots of steps.
But it is, what we have, I think, is unique, and it's hard to find. And I think it's also very hard to trust other people who are in the same field as you. Because there are snakes in the grass, unfortunately, out there. People who are willing to throw you under the bus and take your ideas and run with them and say they're theirs or whatever, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know,
it's like
being friendly with someone in your same exact business and not being intimidated by them, right? Not being like, oh, Jesse's sales are through the roof, so I guess, you know, I should feel like this. But I don't, because I don't know.
And on the flip side of that, to be on this part of it and know that I can share a success with y'all and y'all not take it some kind of way.
Yeah, I say it all the time, like, if it can't happen to me, I'm glad it's happening to Jesse. If it can't happen to me, I'm glad it's happening. If TikTok's not throwing me on a commercial, I'm glad it's happening to Jesse. Because Jesse's that kind of person who's going to bring up everybody around her. And so
we were friends before she was famous.
Right.
Yeah.
We knew her way back when.
Way back when she was just a mini heifer.
What about as you're a mini heifer? She's still a mini heifer.
I'm getting wider. So here, if I keep growing, y'all can just call me Wide Load Mini Heifer.
No.
Mini Wide Load.
Mini Wide Load.
Getting back to it, like, one of the things that I know I obsess about is it's not so much about quitting, because I like doing this. And even if I stay, I do want to grow. I want to grow. How do I grow? This is all we think about is how do we get more sales? How do I do this? How do I do that? What else can I be doing to pile on my plate to make it better? Right. So it's just I'm constantly churning the different things to do, the mental gymnastics of always wanting to scale while I'm holding everything together at the same time.
It's a Sisyphean.
Sisyphean.
Sisyphean. That almost, I was going to say the same thing. Sisyphean.
Oh, no.
All right.
You know, Margaret, seriously, it was like, it wasn't until like 30 minutes ago I noticed what was on your shirt.
Yeah.
It's just so like good. Cooking, but don't lick the spoon.
Emily,
there's a clip.
I like that. I might need one of those shirts.
I don't know where she got it from. It was one of my Christmas gifts. What does a typical day look like when you feel like you're carrying everything?
Just like any other day.
Yeah, because it's every day.
It's every day. You get up. Like, I get overwhelmed pretty easy, to be honest. A lot of times I walk in here and, like, if I leave my shop, and I probably will, I'll probably leave my shop just like this and come into it tomorrow like this. I walk in here and be like, I can't do a dang thing until I clean this shop up. Because I can't work in a mess. I cannot do it. Even though I will leave a mess, I can't work in a mess. I'm a dichotomy in myself.
You got to come back to that starting point to get started again.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's me. So, you know, I labeled hand wash today, lots of hand wash. and I packaged orders today, and then I had to go to town, and it was flipping flooding. So I'll come in the morning, and I'll clean this mess up and start over.
You need one of those
duck boats. I do.
You know what I'm talking about from the World War, where they rolled the amphibious vehicles? You could drive in it, but then whenever it's you start floating.
Actually, in Mobile, you can take a duck boat tour.
Yeah, you can do that. We did, first one we did was in Ireland, actually. We did one in Ireland. It took us by, like, YouTube's recording studio, which is funny. And then they had them in Branson, too. I know.
I took one in San Diego.
Where in the world is Carmen San Diego?
Where in the world is Margaret? Connor.
Where in the world is Carmen San Diego?
But yeah, the ones in Mobile are really cool because they'll take you down the Mobile River and such as that, and they'll actually take you down downtown Mobile, and you know the live oak trees are covering the road, and there's always Mardi Gras bees stuck in those live oaks, you know, so you'll be dry, even it might be like August and there's Mardi Gras beads hanging all through those live oaks, because I mean nobody's going to go through there and pick them all out. You know, it'll take you to all kinds of different cool places in Mobile. It's neat.
Have you ever felt like you were failing even when you were doing your absolute best?
Yes.
I always feel like I'm not doing enough. I can't get everything I need done in a day. It's constant, not constant, but every day there's that nagging feeling of you're a failure. Yeah. Every day.
It's
not all day long, but you know, every now and then it sneaks in.
I can't finish. I just can't. We were, you know, in the intro I talked about the to-do lists, and it's just, you know, I just got this book a couple of days ago, and it's just filled with
things. I need to get
a
book
every day, and I just bring it with me everywhere. It's attached to me because when I have a thought, I put it in the to-do, you know, it's got to be in the book. It's because I there's just so much churning that I can't rely on remembering things from minutes.
I mean, you can do it on your phone
I'll write
too,
things down. Yeah, I could. I do some things in my phone.
There's that nugget I was talking about.
It's easy to, when I pick up my phone to look at the to-do list, it's very easy to get distracted by something else.
Yeah, that's true.
So I have to separate myself from that. And if I pick this up, I know I'm not scrolling. So,
but I think this past year has also been really hard on small businesses. Like sales, I think, just across the board have been down for most people. Yeah. And that... Even though you know other people are having the same issue, it still makes you feel like a failure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think, what part of your business feels the most invisible to outsiders?
The content creation.
Yes.
How is that, invisible?
They don't see all the work that goes into making the content.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Right. That,
and it's so freaking much work.
Mm-hmm. Well, yesterday, you know, I was drinking coffee with my mother-in-law. For those of y'all who are kind of new, I try to go drink coffee with my mother-in-law every afternoon, every day. I don't always make it, but I try to at least make it a few times a week. And I was drinking coffee with her yesterday, and she told me, and it's really kind of hit me. She says, I thought about coming over there to, you know, see what you was up to, see if I could help you do something. She says, but I didn't know if you were filming or not. That kept her from coming over here.
That sounds like an excuse.
No, it's not.
Because you're filming all the time.
Yeah. It wasn't an excuse. It was just that she doesn't like, she doesn't even like anybody taking a picture of her. Mm-hmm. She's just that type of person. She's very humble, very sweet. She's one of probably the sweetest person you'll ever meet. And not everybody can say that about their mother-in-law, but I'll legit have a saint for a mother-in-law. But I'm sitting there going, man, she didn't want to come see me because she thought I'd be filming. That just kind of hit me. But that's an invisible part to most people. They don't realize how much goes into posting that video. There's a lot that goes into it. Mm-hmm. A lot.
And you know what's funny is that most of our content is behind the scenes stuff that people wouldn't know about otherwise.
Yep.
So we're showing them the stuff that people don't think about when it comes to owning a business, but you don't see how much work it is to create that content too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It looks easier than it is.
The editing involved is just so cumbersome.
And the voiceover.
So cumbersome.
Yeah. And, you know, yesterday, was it yesterday? Yeah, I think it was yesterday. I was editing a video that I've yet to post. And my son, he come and he was talking to me. And I'm sitting there trying to edit that. And he's asking me questions and trying to show me stuff. And I'm sitting there going, you know, I'm sitting there going, I got to edit this.
But you got to spend time with your son, too.
Yeah. It's a daily struggle. It's mm-hmm. a daily struggle, you know, because you want to spend time with your son, with your family, but also you're in the zone.
Yeah.
You know, and you're sitting there going.
And I have actual diagnosed ADHD, and like, I'm like, you know, you're in the zone, and if you let them take you out of the zone, then you come back and you're like, crap, where was I? What was I doing?
But sometimes you just have to think, like, sometimes I have to give in because... Like, if I am trying to do this and this at the same time, neither one of them is going to get uh-huh. done properly. So it's put this down, pay 100% here, okay, and then pay 100% here. So it's...
Uh-huh. That too. And
it rarely happens, but...
Well, you know, and it's, you know, Margaret, your baby is about, I mean, he's grown. Mm-hmm. He's fixing to be in the big bad world. So you're wanting to spend every minute you can that he will allow you. With him, because those are few and far between, I'm sure now.
So he's never home. With his girl, he's never home. Never.
And my son, he's got a job. He's working his job. He loves his job. And he's at school and such as that. So I'm sitting there going, I'm in the zone, but, you know. So it's, I put it down and.
We've said it so many times before, but I think one of the things that we would all love to shirk off onto someone else, the first thing we all think about is the social media content.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd love to hire somebody to do that. But it has to be someone who understands you and your business too. And that's the hard thing. It's like, it's got to feel like.
That was going to be my thing. I was going to ask, if you could hand off one part of your business forever, what would it be?
And it would be social media.
But I don't know.
It's so personal. It's so personal.
I feel like, because we are there are some businesses where that's easy because you don't have to be the face. And some people who are on soap making, they never show their face. Right. But I feel like you can't hand off the social media because you're in it. Like if you're showing the making and you're doing that, maybe the editing, I would pass off the editing.
I think I could, because I think if it's someone who's local and like maybe works at comes to your place and works, there are people who have their fingers on what catches attention much better than I do.
Yeah.
And they can keep up with trends, and they can keep up with what hooks people in such much better than I can. And mm-hmm. I feel like they could come in and film me and make a much better video than I could and catch more attention than all the freaking hours I spend doing it.
Right.
So that's why I said I think I would love to have someone who could come in and film content and make it for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be nice. But then again, I'm sitting there going, I've got my own little spin on content creation. You know,
but the person who comes in would know that. Like they look at your thing and they say, okay, like how let's create content true to you.
This is going to sound odd. But I would actually have a much easier time handing off like the actual soap making to somebody else than I would the actual content creation. I don't know why. I guess it's just because I've had such a presence on TikTok, and it's hard to let go of that.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I mean, it is hard to let go.
Uh-huh. So now, how about this? All right. Have you ever felt jealous or discouraged by someone else's success? I know we talked before about looking at other people.
Yeah.
Have you jealous? Like,
I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm not human and I haven't been jealous of somebody else. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you shake it? How do you shake it off?
Tell yourself you're being stupid and go do your own thing, because everybody gets jealous over, you know, so everybody's jealous over somebody. I don't care who you are.
I just, you know, everybody's jealous. I tell myself, I just tell myself it's not my time yet.
Okay.
And that my day may come someday. And I also remind myself that even though I feel like a failure and I feel like I'm small and I'm not that successful, there's someone out there who wishes they were where I'm at now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Someone out there wishes they had what I had.
And I don't look at it like that, but yeah, I never thought of it like that, but yeah. If I like the person, I justify my jealousy. Right. So like I might say, okay.
Wrong pipe.
I thought you were laughing at my.
No. Water went the
That's
wrong
what
way.
She said.
Ding.
But if I like the person, I justify it. Like, okay, so Jessie, fantastic, got all these, you know, she's got the commercial, she's got the business, she's got this. But it's okay because she's a good person, right? Mm-hmm. She deserves what she's getting. She, you know, like in my head, she's the kind of person who will bring up everybody around her with her, right? And then other thing, like I get jealous of Shauna's traveling. She earned that. She worked.
That's
she
right.
Worked
she
her
put
butt
the work into
for
it.
All of that, and she did that. And da, da, da. And she practically brings us on her trips with her. With
That's
you know
right.
what I mean? Like we are there. We're seeing all the pictures. We're seeing the Cirque du Soleil. We're seeing all of that kind of stuff.
The skiing pictures. Right. And I'm sitting there going, "Yeah, I'd bust my tail." Mm-hmm.
But then if I don't like them, then it's well. They probably don't even like sleeping with their husband.
I love it.
So I gotta. I have to be. If I don't like them and I'm jealous of them, I have to find something that I can.
You justify
be
it.
About. I have
you
to justify
it.
Little green monster coming up there.
Uh huh. That's my little thing.
What you know, and it's so great days? That you say that because. People do it all the freaking time, but
of course you do.
A lot of people won't admit to it.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Or that person. Oh my goodness! Look at all the business she has, but she is so snooty, and so nobody know. Whatever, something like that.
I think I have a harder time with people who have been in business less time than I have, and they just hit it right off. Oh, I'm like, what am I doing wrong?
Stink.
Like, I haven't had a video go viral. Like, I haven't had those millions of views on anything. And I've been doing this for a while now. But at the same time, I'm like, that doesn't necessarily translate into anything. You know?
No.
Right. The virality does not translate into sales. It doesn't.
That's right. I'd rather have sales and low views.
Oh, yeah.
Than high
Absolutely.
Views and no sales.
But you have these people who come in and there's like, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they just like went from zero to 150. You know, you're like, what happened?
Or if
with a crappy video too.
Yeah. Or if I don't know someone and I'm watching them and I'm jealous because I think that they're doing so much better than me, then I'll like do a deep dive on their social media and be like, what are they doing differently? How can I incorporate what they're doing? Are they being more personable? How can I be more personable? Are they showing the chickens in their backyard? And that's why they're, oh, look at all the, of course they're more famous than me, or not famous than me, but you know what I mean? Of course they're getting more attention than me. They've got goats. Of course, you know, like things like that. Like I have to find a reason. And if I can't find a reason why, then I look at what they're doing and try and figure out how can I do that too, or how can I learn that, or how, you know,
right?
Yeah,
how can I replicate their success?
Yeah,
yep. Well, that's learning. I mean, I have watched and scrolled and learned, and that's just part of the process, you know. That's just part of the process. I mean, look at videos when any of us first started. Like when they were getting ready to shut TikTok down, we were all, you know, scrolling and trying to save things and such that in a mad dash. You know, I went back and looked at some of my first few videos and I'm like, what?
What was
that is crap. What was I thinking? You know, you evolve, you learn, you adapt. And it's all part of the process. You know, you learn from other people and you know, it's just part of it.
Yeah, and I feel like that's also a reason why there's so many copycats in everything. It's because mm-hmm. we're all watching each other, and it just, it's hard to not do what everyone else is doing. It's not.
Right.
Hard to
it is so frustrating to see that. Like, you see something you think is funny, and you're like, oh, wow, that's funny. And then you see, like, 15 other people do the exact same thing, and you're like, wait, who did it first? Like, did I give, yeah. did I like and give credit to the original person who did it, or did I, like, find one of the copycats? Like, son of a gun.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's that's part of being on the trend is what's trending. I mean, it's what gets views, and views, you know, not always gets customers, but, you know.
You know, part of my thing is
the eyeballs you go in front of, you know, is better.
Part of my thing, though, is I've never been a trendy person. So,
yeah, no, me neither. In the lonely world of being a business owner, you know, a sole business owner, what keeps you going on those hard days?
My family. It's striving to build something that can benefit them. It's it's my kids and my husband. It's hoping that one day I can leave my kids something if they choose to pick it up and take it. Mm-hmm. That's what keeps me running.
That's a wrap on episode 20, y'all. If this one hit close to home, we just want you to know you're not alone. Being a small business owner can be hard, but you're out here doing the damn thing, and that's worth celebrating. Don't forget to like, share, rate, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. It helps more people like you find the Dirty Heifers. And hey, if you want your business featured in our Farm Fresh segment, send us your website or your socials for a little honest, supportive feedback from the heifers. You can DM us or email us. Links are in all the show notes. And heads up, our next few episodes kick off a special series called Sell Smart, Heifer. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. We'll be joined by guests who are pros at selling on different platforms, Etsy, Fair, Shopify, and TikTok, and more. So you can start working smarter, not harder. And until next time, stay dirty, heifers.